Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Florida dumbasses attempt to answer questions about America. And we'll do it on Columbus Day.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
All right, let's go to the audio.
We're going to see if people can answer the citizenship questions that immigrants have to answer to become a citizen in this country. Let's see how much they know. This is really easy, I promise. Why does the flag have 13 stripes?
Why does the flag have 13 stripes? They don't have 13 stripes. It don't. It don't got 13 stripes.
That seems like an easy one.
Yeah, really.
I feel like anyone that I can answer is easy.
Yes.
They started that, yeah, pretty easy.
Yeah. All right.
It does. None of these are trick questions.
It does? Mm-hmm. Oh. But, I don't know. 13 states. No. Hell no, man. I'm going to have you looking dumb as hell out here.
Why does the flag have 13 stripes?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say 13 stripes because we started out with 13 colonies.
Oh, look
nice.
At that one. Yep.
Can you name one state that borders Canada?
Wyoming?
Wyoming? I couldn't even say it.
Wyoming?
It's like the question would be, can you say Wyoming?
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 Wyoming? Why?
Wyoming?
Why are you asking me?
Wyoming? Wyoming?
Name one state that borders Canada.
No clue.
Wow.
Canada state.
Really?
Oh. Wow.
Oh, it's a country.
No.
Can you name any states that border Canada?
Think north.
I know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Just think north.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to help this person.
Take a shot at it, yeah.
Feeling very good about myself.
It's like right there, but I can't. You probably can pass it.
Hold on, wait. Don't pass it yet, because I at least don't name one. I can't even think of states right now. I feel with hell. Texas?
Wow.
Texas.
Yes, you're completely right.
Texas is so big, it goes around the world.
Exactly.
And touches Canada on the other side.
Exactly.
Good morning, Senator Blumenthal.
Good morning. Wonderful to be with you, as always.
Did you run the Hartford Marathon over the weekend?
No. I think my marathon days are in the rearview mirror.
Really?
Oh, gotcha. You ran that fast.
How many have you run?
I've run five.
Five?
Five. Simultaneously, just so you know.
Five?
One back to back.
Yep.
One
and these
the
don't
other.
Include that the Senate run. These are running marathons.
He said marathon sessions.
Right. I see what you did there.
I don't
there.
Count the Senate as a marathon.
Okay.
Senate isn't moving in a forward direction.
Gotcha. Right. It's kind of split and divided. Right. Which way are you guys going? I don't know.
I consider the Senate more a treadmill.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. You're just running in place.
Right. With, right. A, with a car in place, front of you. Right. A
lot of effort.
So how old were you when you ran your first marathon?
I was in my late 20s, I think. I ran the Marine Corps Marathon.
Oh.
I was in the Marine Corps Reserve, and I was down in Washington. A couple of my Marine Corps Reserve buddies said, hey, there's a marathon tomorrow. Let's run in the marathon.
Oh, so you didn't train for it.
I did training. I wore tennis sneakers.
Wow.
And I started, looked around, couldn't find the two guys who said they were going to run it with me, and I figured they were way ahead of me.
Right.
As it turns out, I finished. They were at the finish line, and they had dropped out after mile 7 or something like that.
Wow.
And they said, you are crazy. And in fact, it was crazy because it took me about a month and a half to recover.
That was his nickname from now on, Crazy Blumenthal. They just call him Crazy.
But then
get over here!
The New York Marathon after training, and that actually was a lot of fun. I ran it about 3:11, yeah, 3 hours, 11 minutes.
Yeah, the best part is going over the Brooklyn Bridge, right? Do you go over the Brooklyn Bridge?
I've forgotten now what the route was. You go over the bridge from Staten Island to Brooklyn, and then I guess it must be the Brooklyn Bridge, and then run up the east side across back over whatever that bridge is.
Right.
Used to be the Willis Avenue Bridge, but it's now
what was your best time?
Of 3 hours
of the five marathons.
3 hours, 11 minutes.
And to inspire you, they have muggers behind you chasing after you.
In a few seconds.
That's why you run faster. Like, yeah, he's got a guy, he's got a pike. Run, 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 run!
What does that average out to be if you do 311 divided by 26.2?
I will check. I was looking this up earlier. It looks like if you do anything less than a four-hour marathon, you've run an incredible race.
So, yeah, look at you.
Yeah, because I guess like an average of 10 minutes a mile or so is like the average pace, and that's about 4 hours and a couple minutes.
That was in my youth when I was hale hardy and
but there's no weight hardy. There's no weight to you,
right?
Like,
yeah, the wind's with him. He's faster.
Yeah, that's why I went over, shook his hand, I felt his back. It's just all like muscle. And
every time you shook his hand, he jumped in the air.
3 hours and 11 minutes averages out to a 7.5 minute mile.
Wow.
Damn. That's pretty badass.
Well, I appreciate your guys' comments on my physical condition. Really, you're great to care about.
Yeah.
My weight and running ability. And
all this stuff is important.
Exactly. How many chimps you could do.
Yeah. Are you going to be dressing up for Halloween?
You know, I'm not even sure where I'm going to be on Halloween. If I'm in the United States Senate, I'll definitely dress up.
You dress as a clown.
That'd be hysterical.
Dress as a clown for that one.
Is if you put on like a Trump mask.
Right.
That would be hysterical.
Red tie.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
No one thinks that's funny?
I think it's hysterical.
I think it's hysterical.
I just saw him like lose his breath for a second.
What does Joe think? Does Joe think it's funny?
Joe Rodriguez is here on his day off.
He thinks it's
telling
funny.
You.
Yeah. Right.
He says yes.
Yeah. Joe thinks it's funny. Hilarious. We can lend you one.
It would go very viral.
It would.
Tell you that.
It would.
Yeah.
Yep.
What would be a good costume for the senator?
Well, let's see. You're working in the Senate? Molasses. That's a big old jar of molasses. Because things get done slow over there.
Like a pirate?
Exactly.
Yeah, you'd be a good pirate.
Pirate's good.
Yeah.
When my kids were trick-or-treating, I used to dress as a cowboy.
Oh, well. Like Woody from Toy Story.
Which is so easy because, you know, all you do is put on boots and a cowboy hat and you're set to go.
Yeah. Are there any pictures of you dressed as a cowboy?
They paid for those and burned them.
That I don't know.
Give me that photo! You know, no cameras!
You know what's funny? Did you hear that answer? That I don't know.
Oh.
That is not a lie.
No, it's not.
It's
no.
not a yes, not
has,
a no.
No, has no
he
idea.
He knows there are, and he's basically saying you're never going to see them.
Woody from Toy Story would be so funny, man.
You'll have to talk to my wife, Cynthia, about that.
Okay, hey. What's her number?
Were you the attorney general when you were dressing as a cowboy?
Yep.
Wow.
And people were very glad to see me.
Yeah.
Oh, unlike most occasions when I was attorney general. You know,
normally people are like, close the door, hide. Yeah. Oh.
That cowboy gave me a subpoena.
Honey, that cowboy looked a lot like the attorney general.
Did it really?
Yeah.
It kind of
looked like him.
It sounded like him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you wear a blue shirt with a tie? With a cowboy hat?
No.
Okay. Yeah, wear a bolero with that.
Did you dress up as a kid?
I think I did, at least on some occasions, yeah.
Right. For Halloween.
I have no idea. I cannot remember.
You were like Superman, Spider-Man, something?
When we were a little
bit
older, we just went around and demanded candy. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I can't picture you being a thug, like knocking on the door with no costume.
Right, yeah.
Give me candy.
Right.
But little boy, you don't have a costume. I don't care.
I don't need candy. I don't need one. I'll sue your ass later on
hand
in life if you don't
candy.
Give me some. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you live in Connecticut as a kid?
I was living in New York.
Oh.
In New York City?
Yeah, Queens.
Oh, okay. That seems like a tough place to go trick-or-treating.
It is, yeah.
Exactly. Maybe you didn't go trick-or-treating.
Right. If you got a $100,000 bar, they'd mug you.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you get? Got him! It's a candy bar!
What was your life?
So you guys get to ask all the questions.
Yeah.
I want to know about your trick-or-treating day.
Oh, yeah. AJ?
My trick-or-treating days, I wasn't allowed to trick-or-treat. My parents thought I'd be kidnapped, so they used to buy me candy.
They thought you'd be kidnapped. Yep. So they didn't? That
explains a lot.
There was two schools of thought.
They weren't worried about you getting like a razor blade and an apple tainted candy.
No,
they were worried about you being kidnapped.
There were two schools of thought in this one. Being kidnapped, and also my mom didn't want me begging at other folks' houses for food.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the normal days. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So she bought our candy.
So you didn't go trick-or-treating?
No.
So did your parents hand out candy to other trick-or-treaters?
Yes, they did. Oh. That was keep the house from getting egged, yes.
So that was, you had to hand the candy out to
No, they did. I didn't do it. No, if I wasn't getting it, yeah, no. I got my
you
own
went
candy,
around
I'm good.
To houses and you handed out candy as you went around.
No, you, no,
no.
I ate my, I got the good loot and I ate it.
This guy was original and creative from day one.
From day one, exactly.
But imagine the confusion, like, ding dong, hi, trick or treat.
Here's
wait,
the candy.
The kid is handing me, and you close the door, you're like, I don't know what just happened.
Yeah. I don't and think he quite gets
he
it.
He probably handed them apples with a razor blade.
I did. I did, because I hated my neighbors. One was made out of C4. Here, light the wick and then run.
All right, we're asking the senator.
The question is whether you guys are still going to have a job at the end of this conference.
Oh, right. Of course we will.
Yeah, we're asking the senator all the important questions.
Exactly.
The missing mom. Norm called me and said, I just wanted you to know that we didn't get the papers filed early enough for us to break it on your show. I'm like, it's okay. Like, I don't need to, you know. But did you hear about this? So attorney Norm Pattis claims he has proof that Jennifer Doulis may still be alive.
Yeah, I heard something about that, yeah.
According to a new motion filed Friday, the so-called smoking gun is a billing record sent to Fotos Doulis that shows his estranged wife received reproductive services at a New York medical facility on July 7th. That's more than a month after she disappeared. Don't they bill late? Like,
yep.
Well, it depends when the office visit was. If it has one, if she was in the office at this time.
Right.
Then
if it,
it's a different
if it's
story.
Services rendered on July 7th.
Right. Big difference.
Let's talk to Attorney Maddox. What do you think?
Good morning. Look, you guys don't need me. That's exactly the question that occurred to me immediately upon reading the article on Friday myself. Is this a laboratory service? Is this just simply a clerical service? You know, service is an awfully broad term, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like reproductive services, that could be they were doing something in a lab, no?
Of course.
Right.
Absolutely. Look, anything that a medical provider might bill for, no matter how remote from the actual physical presence of the patient, they're going to bill for.
Right. So this is just a very good attorney trying to put into the dialogue to potential jurors that, hey, it's not a slam dunk that she's dead.
Right.
Right?
Look, I this harkens back to his original claims that she's disappeared, that she has intentionally disappeared. You know, there was some original talk not long after Memorial Day weekend when he was raising the question as to whether, in fact, she had been receiving health care services that weekend and thereafter, right? He's been harping on this medical issue for weeks and weeks and weeks, repeatedly. So, and now he's got a bill that points toward reproductive services, and it fits perfectly into his theme.
Right. Yeah, and it just gets us talking about, well, you know, maybe, you know, well, who knows?
Yeah.
Right. The gag order, when he was fighting that, was he fighting to really overturn a gag order, or was it more to get the other side to stop talking?
Oh, I don't think he cares about the other side's talking. I think he has a legitimate First Amendment claim here. I think it's a legitimate claim that it's a prior restraint on speech. You know, are there other convenient potential collateral consequences of the appeal? Absolutely, but I think he's sincerely fighting about prior restraint on speech.
Wait, what did you just say there? Are there other
collateral benefits?
Oh, okay, all right, I got you. So there could be other benefits, but it's really about the free speech of it. So you think that he's right?
I think he has a winnable argument. Whether or not the appellate court agrees is another matter of the Supreme Court, but I think he's got a really, really good argument.
And the argument is that the other side is able to put theories out there and he is not able to respond to them?
I don't think that's the argument. I think
the argument is his client has been charged with anything,
right,
so why are you gagging me?
Right, the judge went too far. The judge is talking about something that hasn't, according to what's before the court and the state of Connecticut, hasn't happened yet. The court's talking about a victim, a singular victim. And there's no warrant that makes Jennifer Doulos a victim yet.
So he was charged two charges of evidence tampering. So isn't that a gag order to those charges?
But so exactly. So the gag order should be narrowly tailored to those charges and to those factual allegations.
Oh, okay. I got you. In other words, he can't talk about the evidence tampering part of it, but he could talk about theories of where she is or what happened.
Right.
What happened, other potential players or whatever.
That's what I think.
Does this force the prosecution to submit these murder charges?
It hasn't so far, right, gentlemen?
Right.
Nope.
I don't see anything forcing that state attorney's office to take a step toward a warrant until they're absolutely ready, until they absolutely have every possible bit of evidence that I suppose they perceive that they need.
If you're Norm, do you want them to file the charges as soon as possible?
If I'm Norm, do I want them to file the charges as soon as possible? I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think that Norm Pattis and his client think that they have a firm grasp on what all the potential evidence is, and they'd rather just get the fight started, the real fight.
Right. And now if you're the prosecution, your theory could be that you have him on a couple of evidence tampering charges, and if he's convicted on those and they feel pretty good about them, he'll be sitting in jail for a long time. So you really have all the time in the world to bring forward the murder.
Yeah, gather the rest of the stuff.
There's the state sitting in the catbird seat. They have all the cards. They have all the time in the world. And if he comes to trial on these felonies, he's looking at a potential maximum of 20 years in jail.
Right. So they don't need to. Now, I talked to another attorney who felt that they would file these murder charges and do all of the charges all at once, murder, evidence tampering, all one shebang. Do you agree with that or no?
I think they would be all tried together, yes.
Okay. Let me shift gears here for a second. Did you see this? Jim Calhoun was named in a sex bias lawsuit.
I did see that.
His defense in his press release and his response to these charges seemed to be, he said he's not perfect. He's not without flaws. He's never been a jerk to someone just because they're a woman. It sounded like when I was reading between the lines here that he was basically saying, hey, I was kind of a jerk to everyone.
Yeah.
Is that a good defense?
It's not a defense at all. Yeah, I'm an equal opportunity jerk.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not good.
In a sexual discrimination case, wouldn't that be proof? Like, this guy is just—he's very demanding to everybody.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, look, jerks always think that they have a monopoly on the correct information. They always think that their perspective somehow has a higher degree of insight than anyone else's. He may say that he's that equal opportunity jerk, but is he going to be able to demonstrate through testimony or affidavits from a wide variety of different gender backgrounds, sexual orientation, race backgrounds? You know, he's gonna line up, 35 affidavits that, yep, I'm black, I'm Asian, I'm gay, he was a jerk to me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good defense.
No.
No.
No. Well, I was playing the press conference audio. Do you remember that when he went bananas in a press conference?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a good defense? Play that and just say, look at, he's very publicly beating up on a reporter.
This is who he is.
Right. Yeah. So he is.
You know, you never know about jurors. You never know about, I think we're the last state in the union that picks jurors individually, and all we lawyers who are trial lawyers think that we're so clever at individually questioning jurors and ferreting out bias and ferreting out who is going to really keep a level playing field. But in the end, they all go behind a closed door, and you have no idea what they're going to do and what they're going to say and whether they're going to follow instructions. They're supposed to apply the law to the facts, and do they? I think they mostly do, but it has nothing to do with whether the attorneys do a good job, honestly.
Wait, we're the last state that questions jurors individually?
I believe that we are now.
What do other states do?
They do what's called a box voir dire, which is the federal standard, which is where jurors are all assembled in, a bunch of chairs, what we call the jury box, and lawyers ask them questions concerning their ability to be fair and just and reasonable in the presence of the judge. The judge asks questions so that it's a much faster process. People are asked to raise hands about whether what they like, what they don't like, whether they're able to do this, whether they're able to do that. And, you know, you can get a jury, you can get a 12-person jury sometimes within a day.
Huh. Wow. It sounds like you would prefer that.
Well, look, I'm accustomed to individual voir dire, but I have real skepticism about its effectiveness. It's extremely expensive. It's very, very time-consuming. And I don't know that it necessarily produces better jurors here in Connecticut and better, more even-keeled juries than anywhere else in the country.
Do lawyers get more money for this longer process?
Well, certainly if you're billing by the hour, you do.
Ah, then it'll never change. Right? Why would you change that?
Seriously.
Right.
You're going to get calls from your friends today. Hey, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah,
on the
what'd
radio.
You do, would you, man, please? What'd you do?
Yeah, they're not going to be happy with me.
All right. Matt Maddox from New Canaan. We're linked up to you at WPLR.com. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
That guy's great.
Yep.
I could listen to him talk all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forgot to ask about his doggie.
Oops.
Cash.
Yeah.
Cash.
I'll call him next time.
Speaking of doggies.
Yes.
You see, this city is asking dog owners to do their duty.
Do your duty.
Boy.
Duty.
And pick up their pet's duty.
Oh, look at that.
Springfield, Missouri, taking a new approach to the problem of unscooped dog droppings in the city's downtown.
Do duty.
Duty duty.
Planting little flags next to the abandoned poop.
Flag duties.
With slogans such as, "Is this your turd? Because that's absurd."
Ah, yeah.
I love it.
Johnny Cochran write this up.
How many meetings did that take to get that on the sign?
Probably just one. Probably just one.
And this is a nudge to pick up the fudge.
No. Oh.
That one's terrible.
Yes.
The city said pet waste can pose a danger to water quality in the area. And who is this? This is the Springfield Water Quality Compliance Officer?
Yeah, I guess she's in charge of stuff.
All right.
Every couple of weeks, there's about 25 pounds of pet waste that get picked up. In an average year, that's costing about $7,500 of public resources that are spent addressing that. So we feel like having a few city staff out here helping spread the word with these little flags is a great way to address that.
Hmm. Is that still a problem? Do people leave it around?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? I see people, we're in an industrial complex, but our building is just one building on a piece of property. Mm-hmm. And I see people come in.
With their car.
Park their car. They get out with their dog. They let their dog poop. Then they get in the car.
Yep.
It's like this.
No bag, no nothing.
No bag, no nothing.
Nope. Dog gets in nice and free. And
I was leaving the building the other day, and I saw a woman over, you know, in the corner of the building doing that with her dog.
Right.
And I almost said something, but then I thought, what do I care?
Well, like, the worst part is when the
dog's
in the
way. This woman might club me to death because I was like, I'm just, you know what? It's your problem.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not the maintenance person.
It's
why do
not
I?
My job.
Well, the worst.
Hey, hey.
The worst
I'm just trying to leave work over here.
The worst when the dog is sitting there fine, but the owner craps in the park. You know.
What?
See, the owner crap instead of the dog. That's the worst
wait,
part.
Wait, wait, wait. Slow down, man. Deliver it. Go ahead.
I said.
Okay.
The dog.
Say so the rest
okay.
of us can hear
the
it.
The dog's okay, but the owner starts crapping.
Oh, okay. Why are you at court today? Street Pete, where were you?
This one was in New Haven.
New Haven.
New Haven.
Who is it, Phil?
This Joe, the DUI guy.
Joe, okay. The DUI guy.
I can't wait to see how many times he's been caught.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Joey.
What are you here for today?
Well, I've been arrested 4 times on DUI, and then I got busted inside my friend's house.
All right, take us to the story.
Wait, so 4 times.
Right. And 1 time at his friend's house.
The 5th time is 3 years mandatory.
Really?
Yep.
And four times it seems like that would be some jail too, no?
I would think, yeah.
4 times.
Like, I think the second or third time is jail, no?
I think it's castration.
If you get a good lawyer, you can get out of jail.
Yeah, first time you get kicked in the nuts.
Right. Second time they punch you nuts.
Right.
Third time they cut your nuts off.
Yeah.
Right. And the 4th time, I don't know.
I didn't realize DUIs
you eat your old nuts.
were so directly related to nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're nuts up the road.
Right.
So, first 4 times I was DUI, I was drunk, about 0.12 over the limit.
0.12.
0.12. Isn't that like dead?
0.12. That's bad, yeah.
Yeah, but over the limit.
Yeah. So 0.08.
plus is the
limit. Is the limit.
It's probably still coming down
from
that.
No, that's illegal, right? If you're 0.08, you're done.
That's right. The threshold. Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
0.12 is like probably three drinks over your... Over your...
It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. You should have a couple of drinks and think about it.
Yeah.
And the cops got me, and then my friend went away for a little bit, and I moved inside his house and took his car.
Why did he go away?
Oh, he had to go on a business trip.
Okay.
So I
heard go away for a while. I thought, well, we know where he went.
Exactly.
I was thinking the same thing. That was good clarification there, Pete.
Yeah.
So I'm hoarding his house.
So I took over his house, and no harm, no foul, taking his car, and the cops got me again.
Doing what?
Drugs, DUI again, living in a house.
Wait.
Seems like a little harm. Seems like a little foul.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
Exactly.
Sounds like there was all that.
Sounds like a major foul.
Sounds like there was a little harm and a little foul.
A lot of harm, for Christ's sake.
At least a little of each.
Marriage, for God's sake.
All right.
Living in a house.
Wait. You said again.
Yeah, I was driving his car drunk again.
How many times did you get caught?
Four, five now, actually.
So. You have to think about that.
4 or 5 now.
You try not to laugh when you ask them, but it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Four or five
times.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Four or five.
In Ireland. 4 or 5.
So is that 45?
4 or 5.
4 or 5.
Or is that 9?
4 plus 5?
Right.
9?
Or how many drinks do you have? 4 or 5.
Joe, the DUI guy, who has been arrested 5 times for DUI.
This most recent one was his 5th.
Well, when his nickname is Joe DUI guy, you kind of expect it.
Yeah. You mean he's just living up to his name?
It was like just one time, you know?
Right.
You're known for it.
Right. It's your thing.
And it's like Joe DUI guy.
Right.
His rap name is Joe Dewey.
Exactly. Dewey. Hey, do we drink? Yes, we do. Yes, I do. Dewey.
His rap would just be a series of flubbles.
It would be. He's like...
4 or 5.
No, his rap be his in the floor.
Right. He's right. His instead of like wearing a giant clock
right.
around his neck, he wears a breathalyzer.
Yes. Exactly.
In the last clip that we played, he said he had a 0.12, right?
Yes.
It's like a 0.12, didn't he?
He said over the legal
0.12.
Limit. Yeah.
Right. I thought it was 0.12 plus the 0.08,
because
it was 0.12 over the legal limit.
Yeah, so there is some debate about what the actual number would be.
Oh, because he didn't say... What did he say?
He said 0.12.
I thought he said 0.12.
I thought he said 15.
That's nothing. That's if you, like, smell alcohol.
No. 0.08 is over the limit.
No, 0.08 is over the limit.
Right.
So
I never understood
0.12
it. I never understood
is it. Way over.
Right, yeah. Is 4 points over the legal limit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just know because I'm big. If I have 3 beers an hour, then I'm drunk.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's what you sound like if you're 0.12.
Where's Lionel Richie?
That's 0.12 right
You sound there. Fun. You sound fun.
Got right. it.
You sound fun.
Right. 0.12.
Right. 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. Check 1, 2.
All right, let's pick up with Joe Dwee.
Joe Dwee.
All right, so you're in his house now? You took over his house?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's on this business trip. I'm living in his house, feeding his dog.
His friend went on a trip. He's taking over the house, watching the dog, and takes his car.
Yeah, watching.
Why not?
Yeah. And that's how he got caught the 5th time.
Yeah. Watching
his friend's car.
Yeah. Just watching.
Yeah, well, he's on this business trip. I'm living in his house, feeding his dog, playing his video games, you know, whole 9 yards.
Does he know?
Probably not.
Probably not See? That he's playing the video games, or probably not that he's at his house.
He's at his house.
Either or.
That's B and E.
Yeah. Well, you know, in his defense, it's the booze talking.
Right.
Window clamor.
Legal entry.
Wow.
It happens.
All right.
How long before he comes back?
I have no idea. I don't have a phone. He doesn't talk to me.
You don't have a phone?
No.
So you're basically hoarding.
Wow, this guy's... He's living the dream.
Yes, he is. Somebody else's dream, but yeah.
He's my friend. He's on a business trip. Hey. How long? I don't know. I don't have a phone. He doesn't talk to me.
Right.
And
Do you even know this?
We're not even friends.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw this person?
Yeah, nice house. Window was open. I stayed there.
Like, were you friends in the 5th grade? Are you still friends now?
He looked like this guy I knew back in the day.
We played on the same little league team, you know.
Right.
Everybody's got that friend.
We talk, get coffee, walk his dog.
Yeah.
You know.
He had all his leftovers in the freezer.
Exactly. Right. Meatloaf, pizza, we're good.
You know, old Jimmy. His name's Tim. That's what I said.
Yeah, call Jimmy. Exactly. I call him. I call him Pokey.
All right.
You don't have a phone?
No.
So you're basically hoarding the house, or?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
He doesn't know you're there.
Hoarding.
Nope.
Uh-huh. No, you mean squatting.
You mean
squatting, hoarding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe brought chicks in there.
He's hoarding the house.
Right.
He's making it dirty.
Right. Dirty, naughty.
Well, he's probably doing that, too.
Naughty, dirty.
Right. He doesn't strike me as a very clean guy.
Yeah.
He's naughty.
He's squatting and he's hoarding.
I'm squatting naughtily. Dirty.
He doesn't know you're there.
Nope.
So what's your case for today?
Well, I've got the... 5 DUIs, and then...
Well, this is your fifth one.
Yeah, this is my fifth one. Sorry.
Right, so he's not going in for 5 simultaneously.
No.
His hearing that day is for the fifth one.
Right.
It gets better.
Also, how many times do you need to ask him that question, Pete? This is like the third time you've asked him that.
Because I want to see if he slips up.
Well, Pete was drunk, too.
Right. Are you paying attention?
Yeah.
Wow, 5.
5. Not 9. 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, but 5.
5
DUIs. That was nice.
The best part is at the end.
No worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It just seems like when you show up for court, you're not going to leave.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
But 5th DUI, you don't go in front of a judge and they say, all right, yeah, you can go home.
No,
you're done, right?
No, you shave down because no body lice.
The best you can hope for is continuance.
Yes.
So he's out on bail. Do we know how much his bail is?
No, but his face is flushed. He must have drank the night before.
Really?
Oh.
I wanted to calm down.
This guy's got an issue.
Okay.
I've got the 5 DUIs, and then I've got a couple of parking tickets before I got the DUIs, and 1 for jaywalking.
How?
Jaywalking? Yeah.
Who jaywalks nowadays?
Who writes a ticket for jaywalking?
Yeah. It was 1974.
Right.
I called you jaywalking.
I'm writing you up for jaywalking.
I feel like that's like he parked his car in the middle of the street, that was the parking ticket, and he's walking back to it, and that was the jaywalking.
Well, he played insanity. Who in the right mind parked a car in the middle of the street?
Don't just get my car, officer. All right, you're jaywalking.
Or maybe he was smoking a jay while he was walking.
Oh, right.
And he thinks it's jaywalking.
See, brilliant. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Where'd you get jaywalking?
Downtown New Haven by the green.
Downtown New Haven?
Yeah.
But today's just for the DWI.
I feel like he ran in front of a cop car. That's the only way you're getting that ticket. And isn't the court in New Haven down around the green?
So, yes.
Like he got,
right,
he was probably one of his multiple DUI appearances.
Right.
Runs across the street in front of a cop car and gets a goddamn jaywalking ticket when he's appearing for DWI.
I need to have a beer.
Oh my God, this guy! What do you do with someone like this? You get a giant catapult and shoot them into Long Island.
No!
I'm sorry, you can't be here anymore.
Now you gotta send to Pennsylvania.
If it wasn't for the 5 DUIs, I think we'd call him Jaywalking Joe.
Right. Jaywalking Joe.
That's almost cool. I'm Jaywalking Joe.
What else?
Yeah, just the DUIs.
I didn't want to know your whole criminal history.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, this is your fifth. Did you going to lose your license for good?
Maybe. I don't know. It's up for grabs today. Big
up for grabs.
Boy, is it an auction?
Up for grabs.
Is it an auction over here?
Like it's a game show. Well, Joe loses license today. It's up for grabs.
What's behind the curtain?
It's 5th DUI.
As the judge spins wheel of doom.
Will he drive? Will he fry?
That would be a fun game. It's up for grabs.
Oh, guess
everything's
your sentence.
Up for grabs.
Guess your sentence. Be awesome. Guess your sentence. What's it going to be? 5 DUIs, Joey White Guy.
Oh, that would be a fun game.
It would be.
I'd actually watch that.
It would make court a lot more fun.
Think about that,
it's
though.
It's the Wheel of Offenses.
Because everybody loves the judge shows.
Yeah.
Like Hot Bench and Judge Jerry and People's
Judge Judy,
Court and Judge Judy.
Yep.
This is combining a court show and a game show.
Exactly.
With real life drama.
This is perfect.
With real life drama.
How do I watch?
Right. And they have to agree to whatever the sentence is going to be sticks.
Yeah.
It
so all you have to do is just follow this, you know, find a bunch of Joes and follow them through the system.
Right.
Record everything. And then you put a game show set.
Right.
Right. Have people come in and then you just play clips. Here's Joe.
Right.
Here's our first. Dun-dun-dun.
Right.
Oh, yeah. 5 DUIs and a jaywalking, too. Okay, what does everyone think he gets?
Right, and then they spin the sentence wheel.
No, but the real judge gives the sentence.
Yeah.
That would be funny, too.
That'd be awesome.
Right.
So wheel of sentence.
Yeah.
The sentence wheel.
Right.
There's got to be a judge out there who's always wanted to be a game show host and would do this. There's got to be.
Yeah, how do you not do this?
Gotta
this is a great show.
Come on, for Christ's sake.
Do we have anything else, or is he done?
Yeah, there's plenty more, actually.
Oh, wow.
Good heavens. All right. I can babble.
big win if I can keep it. If not, so be it.
It's a mandatory.
So it's a big win, like he's a quarterback going out in the field. Yeah, we're looking for a big win today.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, going to throw that
feel
ball
good about hard. Feel good about
we're going to run it. We're going to throw it.
We're practicing.
Play offense. Got to play both sides of the ball. It's going to be a big win if we come off the field, and I still got my driver's license today.
God, coach says we're good. Coach says
it's
we're
like
good.
Driver's license. Dude, you're going to jail.
Dude.
Yeah. Hartford Marathon winners, Ryan Smith from Maine, 2 hours, 18 minutes, 25 seconds. Marcy Klimek from Massachusetts won the women's division, 2 hours, 35 minutes, 20 seconds.
Those are insane times.
Insane times.
Insane crazy.
And there was a proposal.
Proposal?
There was a proposal.
That's good, right?
No, it's not. No. Because there are people who, like, fought cancer for the fifth time, overcame it, beat cancer, trained, and then
beat the
ran
odds.
The marathon and crossed the finish line for the first time. And then, you know, you're about to get that glory. You're like, here comes the, God damn it. There's someone on their knee proposing.
Yeah.
Get the hell out
what
of the way.
What the hell?
Right. It's like, you got to do that here now. Really?
Really?
You got to make this about you.
Yes.
It's not enough you cross the finish line. No, now you got to propose, too.
Mm.
And those are the only three people I saw anywhere in any of the coverage. It was the winner of the men's, the winner of the women's, and the proposal guy.
Yes.
It's like there's people who probably carted themselves over,
yep.
You know, like on a wheelchair or whatever, you know?
Overcame odds and whatnot.
Right.
Yep. Personal triumphs, but no!
Personal triumphs,
but no!
No.
Here we go.
All you got to do is buy a ring, get on your knee.
Exactly.
Get done. All the coverage.
Exactly.
All the coverage.
Here we are talking about
right
now.
All of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyone say it's time? Yeah, it's like, all right. Like, your time should be posted in the story. Yeah, like, look at so-and-so proposed at the finish line.
His time was so-and-so.
He ran a pathetic 5 hours, 24 minutes.
Yeah. He's going out with her for 8 years and 9 months.
I was going to say, we should ask her what the time was.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's... 5 years, I'd say a year past what we expected.
Yep.
Yeah, how was this time? Not good. Been waiting forever.
Yes.
The whole point is to cross the finish line. We did finally get there.
Right.
But he took a sweet-ass time.
And speaking of times, there was a record broken. Where the hell is it? Oh, here it is. I can't even pronounce this name. No one really cares who it was, right?
Yeah.
It was the first person... to run a marathon in under 2 hours.
That's superhuman stuff right there.
That's like if you're running on one of those moving sidewalks in the airport, like maybe you can accomplish it that way.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? It's like you're super.
I don't think I can even run on that for 26.2 miles.
I can't run, period.
So, Phil, do the math on this.
Okay.
1 hour, 59 minutes, 40 seconds. You can round it off to 2 if you like, but divide that by 26.2 see what the average time per mile was. It's 3-time Olympic medalist
Eliud Kipchoge.
It's a sub-5-minute
yeah,
mile.
Nice job, Ashley.
I'm like, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
I didn't
made
have
up.
It.
That sounds made up.
I didn't have it.
He averaged less than 5 minutes per mile, 4 minutes, 54 seconds.
Now that he's done it, everyone's going to do it. It's like one of those things. Once you break it, people are mentally know it can be done.
Yep.
And now everyone's going to do it. Not everyone, but
I'm not going to do it.
I won't be doing it anytime soon.
No.
But more people will do it.
This guy was close before. He had the previous record. It was like 2 hours and 1 minute. So he's like, I'm right there. Yeah.
How long are his legs?
See,
a mile long.
2 miles.
A mile long.
He's 8 foot
yep.
six.
Yep.
Right. He took 3 steps.
Most amazing thing ever. Yep.
Yeah.
I want to say he's Eliud Kipchoge.
Imagine this guy. So that's running. Like you're sprinting at that speed. That's running. That's not jog. Like I jog, right? Like when I'm, quote, running a 5K, I'm at a jog. This guy's booking it.
Yep.
Booking.
Like,
how fast can you run full speed?
Not very long.
I don't think I could even hit that average.
Not very long.
No.
I don't think I could run 1 mile in less than 7 minutes right now.
You know it would be fun, and I don't know if you could do this, but can we find out how many miles an hour that, well, yeah, we could do it, right? Because it's basically two hours, 26 miles.
Right,
so
the average
he's doing over 13 miles an hour.
Wind speed and velocity.
Jesus,
and
have you tried to run 13 on a treadmill?
No.
That's a full sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're sprinting. That's the person in the gym you hear.
Yep. You're
and
downstairs.
It's only like 30 seconds.
The lights are vibrating downstairs part of the gym because this person's like just jamming on the treadmill.
It's like, what's going on up
that
there?
That ball's going to fall right out of that fixture.
That's the person. If they fall while they're doing that, they're going through the wall.
Yeah. That's the best like, one of all.
There's a big hole in the concrete, in the cement block.
Those are the funniest videos ever where they take out the folks behind them like a bowling ball.
Oh, yeah.
Mint.
Or if the cell phone hits the deck when you're running that fast, it'll kill the person behind
you. It will. Yes. It will.
They're dead.
It will.
They're just gone. Their foot's broken off.
Or there was a guy doing squats and now has a cell phone sticking out of his ass.
Right.
Is this yours playing chess?
And then there's that.
Yes.
So this event, what they're maybe not telling you there, this was crafted just for him to break this record. So it's like this six-mile loop that he did in Vienna where every time he completed the loop, they would have a different pace setter come and join him so that he could try to keep up with that other person to motivate him to get there.
Oh.
That doesn't seem real then, right?
I mean, he ran it. He did it.
That ain't
yeah,
right.
No, I get it, but it's a six-mile loop.
But that means there are other people, a lot of other people, that can run as fast as that.
But this is six miles at a time.
Not for the whole thing. They have people come in.
Yeah, that's right.
The pace setters, by the way, are all different Olympians and like other people who are like at the peak of this level. Like, it's not just like I run out there because like I raise like $2,000. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be the pace setter. Like, no, these are real athletes and he's just dusting all of these guys.
Right. Okay. And I don't want to take anything from this guy, but I will because it's a 6 mile loop, right?
Yeah.
So you're going over the. Is there a hill? Are you going over the same hill?
Completely flat.
All right. Come on. Come on now.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
It was a specifically scouted out 6 mile circuit along the Danube River that was flat, straight, and close to sea level.
Wow.
He was also guided by a car with a laser on it, I think. So basically the same thing you do for a cat.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing.
Oh, he's chasing the laser?
They didn't want to waste steps. So, like, each step that you go off course adds to your time. So that's what they're pointing him on, like, this is what we coordinated to be the fastest route.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, we had
do they usually do
that? He can't have this title of being the first guy to break
through. That's cheating.
You can't say he didn't do it. He did it.
Right. He's done doing it.
He did it. But, yeah, all right, I'm going to be the first one to do it in under 2 hours. Then right under that, in a car.
Exactly.
Right?
On a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. Pace setters, flat ground, 6 mile loop, laser beam, step right here. Yeah, I'm going to be the first one to do it in a jetpack.
Nice.
I don't care how easy you make it for me. I'm not making it probably the first 6 miles, let alone the full 26.
I'm going to be shot out of a cannon doing 2 minutes.
No, but I get that. Yeah. But you know what? This is the guy who, like, he's now going to be known as the first person to run a marathon in under 2 hours.
Yeah.
But he didn't really do it.
He ran it.
No one's going to say, well, first guy to run a marathon in under 2 hours with various pace setters on a 6 mile loop on flat ground near sea level with a laser beam guided system.
I'm deaf in that one.
They're going to cut all of that out and just say, yep, first guy to do it in under 2 hours.
Oh, because he ran on his own two legs and feet.
No, but the guy in Hartford did it in 2 hours and 18 minutes, and he didn't have a loop.
No.
Laser guided beam thingies.
No, nothing.
Pace setters.
Nope. Just
no hills.
Just the will and band-aids on his nipples.
I think you're the only one that does that.
What, Band-Aid on the nipples?
Yeah.
No,
people
that's
do
a thing.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a thing.
From chafing.
For running?
Ask
George Cotley about that.
Chafing.
So today, Ashley's learned that people poop when they run marathons and they put Band-Aids over their nipples.
Yes. It's not just a turn.
She knew nothing about running.
I'm clearly a runner.
Yeah, not.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.